The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples."
The Gospel of the Lord.
So I think one of the fundamental misunderstandings of Christianity and our Catholic faith and the life with God is actually that Jesus is some kind of moral exemplar that we're meant to follow, and maybe he gives us the ultimate example of what it means to follow God, and so by following his example we can and are able to follow God. And then at the end of our lives, our good works are kind of measured up against our bad works. And if they're deemed appropriate, if we are deemed appropriate and the scales are kind of as they should be, then we go to heaven. And if not, we go to hell. This is not a biblical understanding of who Jesus is. It is not a Christian understanding. We understand Jesus is actually his words in today's gospel being much more kind of specifically and fundamentally true. When we're baptized, even if we're an infant and we're baptized, or at any point in our lives when we're baptized, that's not just a symbolic thing that happens. When you're baptized, you change. Your soul changes. God creates a dwelling place in you. Okay? That's what happens. That's why there was such an urgency by Jesus to go out to all the world. That's what he said. The very last words he said are, were, Go out to all the nations, teaching them everything that I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles and the disciples of the apostles, etc., moving forward, they went out and they did everything in their power to go follow through with this command. Baptism is essential for salvation. It's the ordinary means of salvation. And the reason for that is when we're baptized, God comes to dwell within us. And so God makes a place within us. He makes a tabernacle in us. He tabernacles among us. And so when Jesus is talking about abiding in Him, He means, I'm not a figure you're just following from afar and you're living your own life and kind of trying to live a good moral life. He's saying, I want to live life with you. So in the day-to-day life, in our interior life, we are with Jesus. Jesus is inside of us. We want to facilitate and keep that area, that tabernacle, clean and free. And the church has always understood this state of allowing God to flourish within us as a state of grace. That's the word, the phrase, a state of grace. We're in a state of grace. If you're not in a state of grace, you should not receive Holy Communion. If you are in a state of grace, God is in you, and you can have a confidence that if you die in a state of grace, you will be going to heaven. And if the thing that takes us out of a state of grace are what are called mortal sins. Mortal sin is a sin that is grave matter that you do out of your own free will, and you had knowledge that it was a sin. So that's a mortal sin that can suffocate that area. If you die outside of a state of grace, you don't go to heaven. This is the church's teaching from very, very early on. And if we commit a bad sin, God gives us the way to come back to Him. That's called the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. Life comes back. God dwells in us. Jesus gives us this image at the Last Supper of a vine bearing fruit. We're the branches. He's the vine. Grapes. It's a Eucharistic image. My grandparents' generation, this would have been as clear a concept as you could possibly imagine if they were catechized. My parents' generation, not so much. My generation, probably not at all. As a practicing Catholic, you have certain requirements. We have certain requirements. God gives us specific ways to abide in Him. We go to Mass, we're called to, just like a married couple has certain agreements. There's a mutuality. There are promises that we take when we're up here. And I'm with the soon-to-be husband and wife. I say, are you freely entering into this relationship? Are you going to stay with this person no matter what happens? Are you open to having children and raising them up in the precepts of the church? Those are the questions. I am, I do. In a similar manner, we are in a covenant bond. We are in a covenant bond with God. Our parents make those promises actually for us at our baptism. Next baptism you're at, you can just listen to what the questions are being answered, the questions which are being answered by the parents and the godparents. It's kind of like married. It's kind of like the questions that we ask at marriage to the couple. So the parents agree on behalf of the children, And one of those fundamental aspects is we commit to the Sunday Mass and Holy Days of Obligation. That's what gives us life. Sunday Mass is not optional. That's because it actually does something to us internally that is giving us life and sustaining us. Just like you would not expect a plant to grow at all if it were put in a closet without any sunlight and without any water, it would wither up and die. So we would not expect our souls to continue to grow and stay alive outside of the Mass. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. Remain in me. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. We do not have life internally outside of Jesus. Jesus is the life. And it's a joyful life when we have life with Him. It's so good. The amount of pain out there in our society, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine for me. There's a burning zeal in me to get this news out there. This is why I talk about, and we have in our petitions every week, evangelization. People are dying. Their souls are withering up and dying. That's the time and the age we live in. People don't know how to receive sunlight and water. They don't know how to till the soil. They don't know what fertilizer is for the soul. That's why our depression, anxiety, suicide rates are out of this world. They're just, it's sickening. And it's terrible to even think about it. All of us are affected by these things. We all know people who are in really bad spots. The solution is not that complicated. It's not. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not complicated. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. It's as clear and simple as that. It's as clear and simple as that. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to minimize anyone's suffering or trivialize nuanced difficulties, but the answer is Jesus. He's the answer. There's no life outside of Jesus. If someone were to come to me and ask, hey, I need some counseling. Can we chit-chat about this thing, this trauma that's just happened in my life, or I'm in this rut or whatever. I could listen. I could play the counselor and the psychologist. I have an education in those ways, but you know what I'm going to be saying at the very end are the fundamentals there. Then we can move from there. If the fundamentals are there, we could talk about the different nuances. Are you going to Sunday Mass? Are you in a state of grace? When was your last confession? Are you praying daily? Do you pray the rosary? Do you spend time with God? Are you trying to live a life that the church asks you to live? If those things aren't there, we're not even at a starting point. Those are the things that make the soul healthy and alive. This isn't abstract for me, personally. This is my own life. This is why I follow Jesus. This is why I am a priest. And not forget about the priesthood. It's why I'm a Christian. It's why I want the entire center of my life to be Him. I can't breathe spiritually without Jesus. I don't want to live life without Jesus. I don't want to be alone. The great thing is, he doesn't want me to be alone. He doesn't want any of us to be alone. He wants to be with us at all times. We're not called to isolation. We're not called to live our lives by ourselves. Jesus has his commands over here, and we follow his example over here, and then we just kind of live our lives and try to imitate. No, that's not how it works. He's in us. We do everything with him. That's joyful. That's what communion's like. That's why a husband and a wife get married. That's why it's part of the natural order. We're not made to live our lives by ourselves. We're made for communion. We're made for intimacy. We're made for God. We're made for relationships with others. This is what God has called us to. That's what heaven will be like. Perfect unity with God, perfect unity with others. That begins now. That begins now. Lord, we ask you to bless us, and we ask you to help us to flourish. We're very thankful that you do not want us in some way to live life alone or by ourselves. Help us to not receive our life from worldly things, material things only, in this age of prosperity and abundant wealth. Help us to try to not feed our souls with pleasures, comforts, riches, and powers. Help us to feed our soul with you, the living bread which has come down from heaven. Help us to be fruitful. Help us to have very deep and rich interior lives. Help us to live a sacramental life where the grace just keeps flowing. Help us to be vibrant plants. And prune us when it's necessary. And be gentle with us, please. Through Christ our Lord, amen. And let us take a few moments in silent prayer to listen to and speak with the Lord in our hearts.